Welcome to the Inclusion First Podcast, where we amplify the stories of regular people practicing anti-racism in their everyday lives. Every single one of us has the ability to create real and meaningful change right where we are. I'm your host, Carrie Sawyer, and I've got the stories to prove it. I can't wait to introduce you to these people, these change leaders, people who saw a need and decided to take action. To me, this is so inspiring, showing the powerful idea of everyday activism. I hope that you take away at least some small inspiration and use it to act and create more good in your world too. Let's get started, y'all. Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the Inclusion First Podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. I am super excited to introduce you to today's guest. Now, this is a young woman that I had both the pleasure and the privilege of mentoring through her 4 years of high school. I was part of a program where I got hooked up with a youth, and this was the youth that you're about to meet here in a minute. And one way that I knew immediately that we were going to have an incredible relationship was that in the getting to know you worksheet, we had both put down that we loved Harry Potter. And I mean, if you can't trust someone who loves Harry Potter, I don't know who you can trust. So I'm going to introduce you today to my good friend, Yinka Agaba. Yinka was born and raised in Chicago, and she is the daughter of Nigerian immigrants. She is the oldest siblings of three and a first generation college student with her Bachelor of Arts from Colgate College in 2014. Yinka currently lives in Atlanta, Georgia, where she previously worked in management with Enterprise Holdings Incorporated for 5 years. Right now, she is currently pursuing a career in medicine. So excited and so proud of her because I remember when I very, very, very first met her, she wanted to be a doctor and she is making that dream come true right now. Yinka is dedicated to healthcare and serving others, social justice, social activism, climate activism. She is a world traveler, a baker. She loves reading and creative writing. Please join me in welcoming to the Inclusion First Podcast, Yinka Agaba. Hi, Yinka. Thank you so much for being here. I'm super excited to have you on the Inclusion First Podcast, and I can't wait to have this conversation that we're going to have today about activism and anti-racism.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, too. This is important, so I'm glad to be a part of it.
Awesome. It is our pleasure to have you. Yinka and I met back when she was a freshman in high school, which was, it feels so long ago and yesterday at the same time. And we were part of a mentorship program together where I got to be in Yinka's life through all of her high school and just like interact in this really beautiful way. And I'm so happy that we have stayed connected and then reconnected recently. Yeah. Just to see like, you know, Yinka's getting ready to, you know, go to med school soon after she takes the MCAT. Like, it's just incredible to have met her. And I knew that she was amazing because we both loved Harry Potter, and that came up in the like get to know you paperwork. And I was like, oh, she loves Harry Potter? She has to be so cool. So let's do this. So Yinka, thank you so much for being here again. Can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself, and then we will dive right into the questions.
Okay. I was born and raised in Chicago. I'm currently living in Atlanta. I went to school at Colgate University. And I kind of was working in corporate for a little bit before I decided that I kind of just wanted to do something a little bit more fulfilling for myself. So I am currently a pre-med student, studying for the MCAT, as Carrie just said, hoping to start med school next year. My family lives in Las Vegas right now, so we're kind of spread out all over the country. And yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about yourself. So the first question that we're going to talk about today, Yinka, what does it mean to you to be an activist in 2021? And do you consider yourself to be one?
So to be an activist, part of that is first being aware socially, and just being aware of like everything that's going on around us, and not just taking it in as if like, you know, it's just a passing trend. I think it's important to constantly be aware of it, to constantly be talking about it, because the only way that things can change, I think, is if we're constantly making ourselves aware of the situations that are going on at hand. And so I do consider myself an activist. I wish I could be doing more. But I think, again, part of it is just being willing to speak with other people and making sure that you are speaking constantly about it. So that's what I do. And I feel like that's me being socially aware and doing what I can right now.
Beautiful. So anti-racism is something that we've been talking about a lot over the last year, year and a half. To you, what does anti-racism look like in practice? What have you seen, or what do you know about it? How would you explain it to someone and like, you know, okay, this is what it looks like. This is how you know when you're seeing it or experiencing it or practicing it.
Anti-racism. I feel like it's people who are anti-racist or people who are talking about the situations that are happening, and they're being willing to learn more about everything that's going on. And that's regardless of race, because we kind of look at it sometimes as like a white and black thing, but there are like so many different races that are part of this conversation. And racism doesn't always look the same. So, you know, like even within my culture, there's been, I don't know if I would call it racism, but there is a superiority kind of thing within the African and my culture specifically is Nigerian. And so, you know, sometimes people are just, they grow up a certain way and they talk about things a certain way and they don't even know that like that's what they're doing. But, you know, if I have a conversation with my mom and she says something that she doesn't, you know, think it's necessarily wrong, you know, just talking about her with it, talking about like the situation with her, and just making sure that she, like just trying to make sure that people understand like what they're saying and being mindful of what they say and their intentions behind it. I think that's a big part of anti-racism. I feel like the best way that we can really make a difference is if we're willing to listen to each other and understand and just be a little bit more patient with each other. I think, you know, sometimes people are very quick to like jump down someone's throat because it could be politically incorrect. Or sometimes somebody doesn't even want to ask a question that they want to understand because they're scared of saying something that's politically incorrect. And it's not up to anyone to, you know, explain a whole, like a whole story, a whole history to somebody. But if we can just be a little bit more patient with each other, a little bit more willing to be open to growth and learn from each other, I think it makes all the difference. And that's a big part of anti-racism to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of this empathy, compassion, human connection. And, you know, we're all at different points, right? We've all come from different experiences, and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not excusing bad behavior. But at the same time, we're all colliding in these moments. And I wouldn't say that being brown means that you know exactly what to do or say all the time. I would say actually, no, none of us know exactly right. what to do or say. We're not always doing or saying the wrong thing. And we're all honestly being triggered and responding through our lens of bias and racist ideals and beliefs. Regardless, because we grew up in this country and racism is like basically a foundational value that we've been socialized to not just like experience, but to carry out in a lot of cases unknowingly on each other, regardless of what your actual race is. And so this idea of giving each other grace, I think is, you know, is wise because especially when you're having conversations with people who you know, who you care about, who are hoping to bring about the same positive change that you are, I'm not saying like, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't see any point in getting in a conversation or argument with like someone who is like proudly racist, like just avoid that at all
exactly.
costs.
Yeah.
The people who you are trying to connect with, who are you are trying to build with and move things forward, like there is a different approach that we're taking, a different grace that we're giving, so that as we step on each other, we know that that we're all still trying to move in the same direction. And so how can we continue to stay open and curious and connect even in those moments that are difficult?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yinka, I would love to hear a little bit about the change that you are creating in this world. And, you know, one of the missions of the Inclusion First podcast is to help people to see that activism, that anti-racism really is something that is accessible, that regular people can step into, can do in little, medium, large ways, really anywhere in their life. And so whether this is change that you're creating in your family, in, you know, school, in your community, like at your work, volunteering, anywhere in between. I'd love to just get some stories from you to help us see what anti-racism can look like in your world.
Sure. So I think like if we start small, like sometimes people think it's not big enough, but it actually makes a lot of the difference. And I think empowering our people, especially like young Black kids, like specifically right now is who I'm thinking of. That's so important. So for instance, like right now, I've been volunteering with United Way, and I help, I just like read with kids in underprivileged neighborhoods and schools, and just help them try to catch up with their reading levels. It's so appalling, I would say, to see the different standards of education that kids are getting across the country. And obviously minorities have the lower end of the stick with that. And I think part of how we can just change everything is with education. That's such an important part of it. I mean, how can you even know what you're like, what you, all the things that you aren't given or what your rights are if you're not even educated about it, you know? So part of that for me is just like helping kids like while they're young, just trying to get them up, like help their education just project in at the same rate, if not better, than like, you know, just get the same like opportunities as other peers their age. So that's something that I do. I know that when I become a doctor, God willing, one of the things I really want to do is have like, I don't know how it would look like yet, but I want to do something where we have like free clinics or like free consultations. I just think that like a lot of times Black people or just minorities in general just don't have the same access to all of like the healthcare or education, like in terms of health, as like our white counterparts. So again, just that education part of it is really important to me. Obviously just giving back, like I was able to come up because of scholarship organizations like LINC and the support of people like you. So that's a huge thing for me. Like I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for that. So, I want to be able to do that. I want to be like that kind of guiding light in someone else's life. And like for my siblings as well, because, you know, they're right behind me. They're kind of doing the same things that I'm doing right now. So it's important for me to be like a role model. Like I want to be something that like other young Black girls can see. Oh, like I can do that too. Because we don't see enough of us like in the media. Who are doctors and scientists. And I mean, I see that even now, like in my classes, sometimes I'm like the only Black girl, if not maybe one or two. And then being a woman on top of that is like, that's just another layer on top of it. So I just want to see more of us. Like I make a big deal about following other Black female doctors and like other people who are, you know, who has a little bit more power, because I think it's important to see where their mindsets are, where what they're doing right now, and how I can also be doing that so I can make a difference for other people as well. But education is a big part of it to me. And then just being willing, again, to talk to other people. I've done like a few study abroad programs in my past. And one of the things that I've taken away from that is just being willing to be a cosmopolitan person, someone who is, you know, willing to see a different culture, understand it, talk to other people, learn from other people. We have a little bit of a superiority complex here in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's so frustrating because there's just so much out there besides what's going on in our little communities, and we can learn so much from people. That's a big part of it for me.
So I was, as she was talking, I was like writing down all the things that she is doing to create change in the world. And I'm pretty sure that I missed some. So this is what I mean by just like integrating it into your passions, integrating it into your life. I think that that story that you shared was amazing. And I'm going to just go backwards from the last thing that you said to this idea of even using manifesting anti-racism in your life by what I'm calling cultivating a cross-cultural mindset, right? Like mm-hmm. being a citizen of the world, like putting yes. aside some of those like stereotypes that you, the US is the best in everything always, which we know is not true in a lot of different things. And I don't know, I mean, the arrogance doesn't serve us because it like shuts us off from learning and acknowledging beauty and accomplishment and innovation in other places as well, right? And bettering ourselves. Right. But cultivating this mindset where you're open, where you're curious, where you're taking in the good things from people in places that are different from you, right? You're expanding from that, mm-hmm. Which is very powerful and will only serve you well as you navigate the world with a larger view and a broader toolkit to solve problems for and to drive real change. So I think that's huge. You talked about being a role model on two counts, right? So for your younger siblings, like paving the mm-hmm. way for them within your family and showing them how some of this can be done and accomplished and having these dreams and then making them happen, right? Mm-hmm. And in a previous episode, I was talking with one of my good friends about in some cases, activism and resistance is just being present in the sphere that you're in and like being the only, being the first, like being determined and persisting through what it looks like to get your med degree, to become a doctor, like being there at all is an act of resistance because the system is rigged against you. Right. But exactly. That doesn't matter because you're doing it anyways and we'll do it and we'll be able to look back and create this clinic to help people get education. Right. So the role model on that front, but then also being a role model for other minority boys and girls who don't see themselves out there in the world doing what you're doing. And I think, I mean, we know that is so, so powerful at all ages. Honestly, I just read this book. It's by Rachel Rogers, who is a Black woman. And she wrote this book called We Should All Be Millionaires. And she's a millionaire and she cultivates millionaires. And as a Black woman, I was like, why am I not a millionaire? And how come I don't know how to do this? And if she's doing it and helping other people to do it, I'm definitely going to become a millionaire too, right? Like that's happening because, and I mean, yes, I had dreams of being a millionaire. We all had, but like, because I read this book from this person who looks like me telling me that I can do this too, I'm like, I mean, that it's happening. Like that shit exactly. is happening. It's a totally exactly. different thing.
Yes. I think people like say that like all the time. They're like, well, why don't they think that they can do this? But it's so different if you are a young kid growing up and like if you want to be a great singer or something like that and you see Beyonce and you're a young Black girl, then you're like, whoa, I can do it. I've seen Beyonce do it. But like if you want to be a really good doctor or a really great scientist, who do we have to look like? Who do we have that's like that looks like that? That we can be like, oh, that's my goal. That's my end goal. So those are the things I think about. And I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but we just don't know about them because the media doesn't spread that around because it's not interesting. It's not, I mean, I don't want to say like that they're actively oppressing us, but it's they're not giving us that view to look at. And so I think it's important that we start to see that and we start to spread that around. I want to see more of that on social media.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Inga, you talked about the idea of, not the idea, but that you're actually like, you volunteer at the United Way. There's a United Way by every single person. There's a United Way, there's mm-hmm. a YMCA, there's these places, these institutions where you could go volunteer and you're like, I help kids read. Who couldn't do that? Like, it's so simple, but yet so powerful. And in that, you're creating a, you know, you're building relationships. You are being a role model. You are giving back. You're doing all of these things that all fall under anti-racist action, because what you're trying to do is disrupt the racism that has caused some of these circumstances and give people light, give people help, give people, you know, see their humanity and let them know that they're valued and loved in this world and that someone cares enough to come in and do this with them. So I think, I mean, the list that I wrote down, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, I want people to see that you don't have to do all these things. Inga is an incredible person, just so you know. You don't have to do all these things. You can just do one thing, because that's number one. That's Absolutely. How it starts. And one yeah. thing makes a significant difference. If you touch one life in a positive way, like the ripple of that, you will never know. But there's absolutely a positive ripple, and that in itself is enough. Right now, we're wanting people to like step on this path of activism of anti-racism and keep going. So please do more than one thing, but it can be something very simple. And as you take those steps, you will start to see paths unfolding before you that are all related to the people that you're around, the people that you care about, the things that you love doing. There's opportunities in all of these spaces. To take a look and ask yourself questions like, who's missing here? Who's not being represented? Who, you know, who might need something? Where are the disconnects happening? Like there's, you know, you just start to, again, cultivate this mindset that will help you to see opportunities to create more equity, to create more inclusion right where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good, Inga. So, I mean, you're doing all these things, and I'm clearly, I mean, I love you. I think you're amazing. I would love to know, what has been one of the most important things that you've learned from doing this work, from being an activist, from practicing anti-racist thought and behaviors and speech? Like, what are some of the things that you have learned? Maybe surprising, maybe like, you know, that kind of changed your perspective, anything that you can share learning-wise for us?
I think this past year specifically, I've become more aware of just everything that I don't know. So, and what I mean by that is I'm now learning that everything that I've read or everything that I've been taught, I need to take that with a grain of salt. I'm sure a lot of other people knew about it, but for instance, I had no idea that there was a Black Wall Street. Like, didn't know that until recently. I didn't know like a lot of, I guess, the history of Black people like in America. Like there's just, you know, we hear about like the big people, we hear about Rosa Parks, you know, like the civil rights movement and all of that. But there's like a lot of things that they just leave out also. I remember having like a conversation with my sister recently where I was telling her that like, you know, growing up, I didn't even know Egyptian people were supposed to be Black because I would always see them represented as white people in movies. So it's just, I'm just so much more aware of like everything that I need to like take with a grain of salt, go back and read more about. So that's one part of it. Another part is just being a little bit more, in tune with mental health. I think, you know, people talk about it now, but I didn't really understand it as much until last year when literally, like, I think there were like just, I don't even know how many, I'm sure more than what was in the media, but just the back to back of like Black people being shot and it being all over the, you know, all over social media and seeing it, or, you know, just like the different people who like died like on TV. It's very triggering. I don't think I understood that until recently, and it affected me, and I'm sure it affects like a lot of people, but I think about, like, for instance, my brother, or, you know, just like anyone who, like, some of these young Black men who go about their day and they're constantly worried, or like their families or their mothers are constantly worried, like, that they might not come back home. I think it's important that we, like, check on our friends, check on our families, and just be more like aware of, like, you know, how this affects everyone's mental health. I think that's just really important, because that was something that was, like, very surprising to me, that, like, I really had, like, I had to come to terms with that a lot last year. So that's big for me.
I think that that's huge. All of this, I mean, it takes a toll on all of us, and you can't keep seeing this and not internalize certain messages, internalize different feelings. And how are you dealing with those feelings? And are you repressing them? Are you suppressing them? Are you processing through them? Do you have support structures, systems, groups to do that? Are you being intentional, essentially, about how you're working through it? Because it's, I mean, it's horrifying on so many different levels, and so difficult and damaging and traumatic, right? Requires care, and it requires space, and it requires healing. And I think a lot of us aren't taking the time to do that. And I mean, this year and a half, it's been such a whirlwind, right? Like, we're all in need of healing from the pandemic, from the racial unrest, from what we've seen and taken in.
Yeah.
Who we are, what we're trying to turn into next. I mean, there's, you know, we need a breath, and to be intentional about how we care for ourselves and for the people who are close to us, so that we can move forward in a healthy way. I think that's super wise, super wise.
Yeah. And I hope that, like, that message can kind of be spread among, like, the minority communities, because there is this stigma of, like, you know, like, mental health or, like, getting, like, therapy and stuff like that. But I think it's really important just to talk to somebody, you know, sometimes, because I think it can be very helpful. I know it can be very helpful, but, you know, that stigma is, like, especially, like, even in my family, like, you know, Africans, we are strong. We don't, like, we don't have to, you know, talk to other people. We just need to, you know, put up a good front and, like, get through it and make it to the next level, like, overcome that obstacle. And that's very tiring. And it's very tiring to try and be successful and to be your best self when you have, like, all of these thoughts in your head that you don't really know how to, like, when you're internalizing just something that's not, you know, something that's so horrible. So I hope that it's one thing that I, you know, I tell my friends, like, when we talk about things, and, like, I can see that, like, you know, it's, they're saying things, and I'm thinking to myself, like, we should really be mindful of, like, how we process these things, because the anger that some people, that, you know, that we're internalizing, it's not going to help us, like, if we're not channeling it in the right way. So
For sure. So, Yinka, when, you know, this work is difficult, and living in this world can be difficult, so what are you inspired by? What keeps you moving forward during the times when things get hard?
I am inspired most by my family. My mom is, like, she's, like, the rock of my family. She sacrificed so much for us. And, you know, a lot of people have the same story about, like, you know, their families, like, coming to America, and like, immigrant parents coming to America and trying to make a better life and create more opportunities. And I mean, that's my story. I'm not, like, super unique or anything from anyone else in that. But it's a very real story. And that's my motivation, just, you know, passing that forward, because I want to see like, my kids and, you know, other young kids, as I said before, like, under other young minority kids, I want to see them succeed. I want all of the best opportunities for them. And so I don't want to say that there's no option to fail, but I feel like, what are we doing if we're not trying to be the best, our best selves for like the next generation? Because I think that I do see a little bit of progression, like with the newer generations. Like I do see just like a willingness to be in the younger generations, a willingness to be open to other people. And I think like we just need to continue that thought. We just need to continue making sure that that's not something that gets regressed, basically. So, I mean, my inspiration, my motivation is all of that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love the idea of nurturing and fostering like the openness and the curiosity and the desire to connect across difference in the younger generation, but really wherever we find that, right? Wherever we find it, for sure. So Yinka, I have one last question for you. Thank you so much.
No, this is fun.
For being here and just for sharing so openly. This has been really, really lovely to talk to you in this way and to hear your thoughts and your insights on some of these really important and really deep topics. So
yeah,
I would love to know. So like for the person who's listening is like, oh man, like that lady is like, she's doing it. Like, I don't know, like what can I do? So for the person who's out there that's listening, who wants to get involved and take action, but maybe they're on the sidelines, maybe they're hesitating, maybe they're one of those people you mentioned earlier, who's like afraid of saying or doing the wrong thing. What advice would you give to them to help them to get off of the sideline and step onto this path of creating a more inclusive, more equitable world? You know, one where we all can be happy, thrive, like, you know, make our dreams come true. That's what we're all out here trying to do. So what advice would you give to help that person join into this mission with us?
I mean, surround yourself with a group of supportive people who have the same mindset and the same goals that you do. Now, in saying that, I don't think that means that, like, you are expecting them to teach you everything. Like, you can go out there and like read and learn it yourself. Like there's so much out there now. I feel like there's no excuse for people to say, I don't know, or I didn't know who to talk to or anything like that, because we can read about it. Like it's everywhere at this point. So that's one thing. Another thing is go out and volunteer. The people who are out there volunteering are people who care about the future of the world. And like, those are global citizens. Those are people who care about their communities, who care about kids, who care about like all of this social justice issues that we are currently trying to fight right now. Those are people who think that, you know, these things matter, who thinks that this conversation that we're having matters. So, I mean, part of why I even joined United Way was just so I can meet more people here in Atlanta, since I'm here by myself pretty much now. And in doing that, I've had really great conversations just with different people, because, I mean, we're all like-minded in that sense. Like we're here for a reason. We're trying to make things better. So, of course, you can have like great conversations with these people. So, I mean, if you can go out, if you have the time and you can go out and volunteer, then that's something that I would suggest that you can do. And then on another note, I also think if you can, study abroad is so important. It's changed my way of thinking. It's been a theme throughout my whole life, this whole idea of being a global citizen. I think I get some of that from my mom, because she's a foreigner. And she's never really liked to be in one place. She kind of drifts around and she kind of takes in different cultures wherever she's at. And I've been able to do that myself. But at the same time, I've kind of been in places where I know some people had never been outside of that city. And maybe that doesn't mean as much if you're from New York City. But like if you're from a small town, like imagine everything that you're missing. And I just think that if you can go out and do like a study abroad program while you're in school, it's so important. And just like take the time, if you can't do that, just take the time to like try and speak to people who are different from you. That's the only way that we can, you know, really understand each other and grow. Just if we can, you know, understand each other's ideals, where we come from, and maybe we can head towards the same place after that, you know?
Thank you so much for sharing that advice and those words of wisdom with us. Yinka, again, this was amazing. And I appreciate you so much for coming and sharing everything and who you are with us today. So if people want to follow your work, if they want to, you know, get in contact with you or see what you're up to, is there a place where they can find you on the interwebs, on social media that's good?
Oh my gosh, I'm not great with social media. I do not use it as much as I probably should to stay in touch with people. But that's because I'm studying so much right now.
I'm studying.
The only social media I guess I'm not embarrassed of right now is like my LinkedIn. And you can definitely contact me link up with me on there. And I can send you the link or something. I don't even know.
Okay, like, I'll drop it in the show notes for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
But thank you so much for having me here. This has been great. I mean, I love doing things like this, talking with people about these kind of topics that matter. Like, I'm typically a shy person, but I can feel myself getting passionate about these topics and coming out of my shell when I get to talk to people about, you know, things that matter like this. So,
well, yeah, you did awesome. You dropped a lot of knowledge on us today. So thank you, Yinka. Thank you for listening to the Inclusion First podcast. We are always collecting and answering your most important questions on anti-racism. So if there's something on your mind, head on over to theinclusionfirstproject.org and click on Ask a Question. We'd love for you to give us your like, your share, your follow, and especially your review, wherever you find us. Thank you so much again for listening, and we will talk to you next time.